episode of Just the Case. This is Bruce. Hey everyone, welcome. This is there's a little bit of lag on the Skype, but this welcome to episode 55 of Case in Point. And I roast Just the Case, and I've got Ponch with me.
Hello.
And we have Jody Yearden back from his sabbatical in Beirut and
furlough.
Yeah, he got furloughed while he's on sabbatical, so it was a double.
It's been a rough time, yeah.
Yeah.
How you doing, fellas? It's good to be back.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm looking at my wall and looking at your guys' background, and mine suck, man. I have such a boring background compared to yours.
That's a personal problem.
I know.
Justin has a... he's blurry. He doesn't want you looking at him. You want all eyes on him. Justin has, obviously this is terrible for the podcast medium, but Justin, as we're recording this on Skype, we can see all his guitars and his toys and posters in the background, and you can, in my house, you can see a wide
anniversary
of,
issues,
comics and what do you want to call that? The wood paneling.
It's organic. He put a nice Jody put a nice coat of Old English before he mounted the comic books. And what happened to your usual backdrop? That little tiny flag.
Oh, that's in the kitchen.
Different room. I see. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try to lean back from the microphone on the webcam because I got a big mouth and I tend to distort my audio.
That's not gonna solve anything. You've always had a big mouth. And that's not going to help.
That's why I'm a great host. That's why I'm born for radio. Even though I'm not on radio. Anyway. So anyway, Larry King, I don't think he's on air anymore, is he?
No, he's like 87 years old. He's on like a seventh wife and he's...
And she's like 28 years old, yeah.
Yes, yes. I think he just got another divorce.
Goodness, man.
Man. Not sure I could roll with that. Yeah. Bloodsuckers are all bloodsuckers. Well, why else would they marry you?
He's a lot. He's too much man to keep up with.
He's too much
man.
He's vivacious.
Too much man.
Once they get 30, they're gone.
Especially when you're a spokesperson for Carly.
He's got a cut off. Once they hit the big 3-0, it's adios.
Oh, that's so wrong, man.
Here, your check's on the dresser. Get out of here. It's like
gray
it's like,
hair. No, no thanks.
Oh boy, we could go
anyway,
this
oh,
conversation. No. We've reached a hub.
Sorry, that's my fault. That's
well, that's sorry. The Mets hat talking, Mr. Straight Brim.
There, oh, happy me. Now?
No, it's fine, man. Mine's around somewhere. I don't even know where it is. It's at Empire. Logo hat that I've had for like 4 years now. That's decrepit. Anyway, so this episode, Ponch and I were kind of talking about some comic stuff, but what I decided was is I'm gonna take you out of your comfort zone, Jody.
Okay.
And that means we're gonna ad lib. So trying to think. Jody's giving it look like okay, smart Alec, let's go.
Piqued my interest. All right, what do you got?
If you want something off topic, I've been watching Diagnosis Murder Marathon all day today.
Oh, that's sad. Okay, Dick Van Dyke.
Is that true? I hope that's true.
While we're at it, let's talk about Mel Duke, okay?
Is it Dick Van Patten's son in that show? Is he on that
show? Yes! Eric Van Patten's on there? Duke, hey. I surrender.
I don't have cable, so I'm just getting whatever is coming over the air, and it's either watch Meet the Press or Diagnosis Murder. So.
Oh, Pun.
What are you doing to yourself?
Hey man, I have to have background music when I'm playing Animal Crossing. So.
Dude, put down a
cable. Oh, okay.
You ever watched? You guys probably never watched The Wrong Guys, have you?
Of course I have.
Ponch hasn't. But he goes, Boy Scouts? Duke went down there to kill a bunch of Boy Scouts? Like, he still thinks he's got a hoodlum from the Bronx.
Hey, I'm from the Bronx.
Not originally.
Oh. He didn't like that.
You're losing one guy today, man.
Two sure man today. Live from the Avengers Mansion.
Some mansion I'm in right now.
No, that's all right. Hey, you're safe. That's all that matters.
Yeah, that's relative, man. But yeah.
So, Punch, what else have you been doing to keep busy during your time at home?
Making costumes?
Besides my diagnosis murder. Well, Alice comes on at 9, and then Designing Women comes on at 9:30. So,
Alice?
I you mean my Dallas? Day around
then. Did you say Dallas, Jody?
No, I said Alice, like at the diner. Alice and Designing Women.
You're really scraping the bottom of the barrel for programming. Oh boy.
Well, I usually put the TV on just for background noise, but
mm-hmm.
again, since I don't have cable, I put on some other channel that shows old shows. So what's the lineup that they put every day? I think it's like Charlie's Angels, $6 Million Man, Bionic Woman. Yeah.
I think we get the same channel here. It's
Cozy.
Yeah, I think we get that here.
Yeah. Is that with the rabbit ears and the tinfoil?
Yeah, it's with like an antenna. If you have an antenna, you get that.
Yeah. I've been under lockdown, whatever, for like the past little bit over a month or so. And first few weeks is kind of like, great, I don't have to work. This is the break I've always wanted from work. It may not be a vacation, but at least it's a break. Then started getting a little crazy after a bit.
Sure.
But I'd say the past week and a half or so, I've been doing some freelance. Two freelance projects. And I've been doing the that 6 fan arts.
Yes.
I don't know if it's a challenge or whatever you want to call it. But, that's been keeping me occupied, taking my mind off of the nonsense is going on, so it's been all right.
Well, it's a different scene if you're in the city. It's a different scene there because you're stuck in just one room essentially.
Yeah. Well,
right.
Yeah, and I can go into further details of my apartment situation, but I'll leave that for another time. But
we know about the guy who has a hot tub upstairs. And pictures of McDowell's employee of the month.
Hakeem. Oh, that's my bedroom, man.
You may enter. Those weren't even his pictures.
My son works.
The movie's great because it's like you could take that clip and maybe someone's done it and put it in the Star Wars montage for like Darth Vader saying it, you know.
What, you use the Jaffe Jafar, ruler of Zamunda? Use that, but dub it over Darth Vader? I like
yes.
that. Yes. Like choking the life out of an Imperial officer.
Yeah.
You have him say, like, I am King Jaffe Jafar, ruler of Zamunda. Where he's like, he's choking the guy. That'd be great.
On a diplomatic mission. Look at the princely robes. Kids go by the skateboard wearing, like, that colonial garb. The powdered wig.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man, I got some gold watches here. Check it out.
I've seen your drawings, Ponch, your challenge that you've been doing. What's it called? The 6?
6 fan arts.
The 6 fan arts. And your stuff's look great. How many have you done so far? I know you've done, I think off the top of my head, you've done Jack Knight, Starman.
Yeah, that was the first.
Uatu the Watcher, big fan. I'm a big fan of the Watcher, and I'm not ashamed to admit that. He's awesome.
Is that cool. On your Instagram? Is it on your Instagram?
Yeah, it's on Instagram and Twitter right now. Yeah, I did Starman, Jack Knight, the Watcher. What was the third one? Shoot. I did a Vengeance, Deputy Kowalski.
Oh yes.
I did not do that one. who's the fourth one? Trap Draw.
Okay.
Yeah, Trap Draw, yeah. So, yeah, and I have two left. I should have the fifth one up today or tomorrow. Maybe the sixth one tomorrow too. So awesome. The fifth one. So yeah, it's been fun. I'm not really used to posting stuff on social media, right. But I mean, sneak getting feedback from people I wouldn't expect getting feedback from, but yeah, I may want to do it again. It's been fun.
That's cool, man. Is it taking you out of your comfort zone to draw stuff where you're like, have you felt any kind of like, I don't know if I can draw that or not? Or is it like, well, all right, we'll see what we can put together for this. I am not an artist at all, so I don't know the many emotions as far as going through that stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind doing different stuff that I'm not used to drawing. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean the stuff this time, I mean, there is a four, like, I've never drawn Starman before, so that was, I don't want to say it was a challenge, but it was different from what I'm used to. You know, drawing circles freehand it sucks, man, because my hands start shaking when I'm trying to, like, do really tight curves, so it ends up being a little jaggedy, so I end up, like, drawing it over and over again. But as far as, like, characters or, you know, whatever, it's, I don't mind the challenge. I actually wouldn't mind doing, like, something completely different if I do it again. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, as long as it's not something where I can't even think of anything off the top of my head. But, yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah.
How about you could do mascots? How about six mascots, be it sports or pop culture or otherwise? That might be kind of fun. I want to see your version of the Bob's Big Boy. Or Mr.
He's got the platter of cheeseburgers.
Yes. Yep.
Wait, Justin, hold that post so I can screenshot it.
That was the TJ's Big Boy, to be honest with us. That was the Syracuse branch.
Yes.
That could be a good idea. I mean,
a Big Boy or like a jacked up Green Giant with Sprout?
Yeah, well, what other mascots are out there? I mean, you have
Count Chocula? A menacing Count Chocula with his book.
Oh, dude, speaking of
King Vitamin.
King Vitamin? Yeah.
On Twitter, Mike Mignola, he's been doing his spin, I think, on like either cartoon characters or no, serial characters.
Oh,
like
he did, cool.
Like he did Tony the Tiger. He did, I think, the Rice Krispie Elves. And, you know, it's in his own, like, Mignola Hellboy type style. So it's pretty interesting.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, so, mascots could be a good idea. I mean, I don't usually draw. Actually, that one may be empty because I probably eat it. Blank sheet.
Twinkie the Kid, where he's dressed like a cowboy, so he could be like have a shootout or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I gotta say, I'm looking at some of these Instagram pictures, and you're making the other cosplayers look bad.
Yeah, I have a ways to go, man. But thanks, man.
Well, geez. I mean, some of these people, I've been to some of these shows, and it's like they took a trash bag and spray painted and called themselves a Hershey bar, you know. I mean, this is, you're building your own stuff from scratch. I mean, that's a skill set that I believe exceeds the common man, if I may be so.
Well, thanks, man. That's nice of you.
And a good sign of a well-done costume is when you got little tiny Spider-Men next to you holding one of the guns. I think that's pretty – when a little kid thinks you're cool, then you know you did a good job.
No, well, what's funny about that is that was for the Cosmic Ghost Rider I did. And I had, like
– I know. I'm looking at it, yeah.
Yeah, so I had – with the costume, I had a pair of guns, and – I would say, yeah, I only wore it for a few hours Saturday, excuse me, and then I wore it most of Sunday, and Sunday is usually Kids Day at New York Comic Con, mm-hmm. And I had so many parents come up to me asking me, oh, can you take a picture of my kid? And I figure, you know, kids are kind of, like, innocent, whatever, you know, timid, so they don't want to, like, they just stay really stiff and static.
Sure.
So I figured just to loosen them up, I said, hey, do you want to hold my gun? It's like, oh, cool. And then they do little poses and stuff. So that was a lot of fun. And then
yeah, I've seen the costume. I could see where it might be a bit on the imposing side. If you're like, what the heck is that? I don't know what that costume is. I'm here for Captain America and Spider-Man.
It's actually pretty, it's pretty freaky before you painted the skull. It's all like a patina on there. It looks kind of freaky, man.
Yeah.
All you'd have to do is have like missing teeth, and then you could be like, anyway. You could do a Skeletor. You know what? I should challenge you to do a Skeletor. Like Filmation Skeletor. That'd be killer.
Man, that I need to bulk myself up for like a few years before I get, before I can do that successfully.
No, or just like... make a styrofoam muscles. Get your chisel out. Yeah. Or you could do I'm running through the characters in my head. You get an afro and you could be Clamp Champ.
What?
And then Jody can be Snout Spout. We'll get him a headpiece.
I'm in.
See, you're
I'm
already. More,
getting... I'm kind of. I have a dumpy physique. I'd probably be like Ram Man.
Well, you're a tall guy, so maybe we can make you.
That's true. I'm too tall for Ram Man.
So... You could be. Oh, we'll make you Evil Seed. How about that? You can wear a robe.
I don't even know who that is.
Oh, okay. because like, oh, behold my strange fruit. Like that. He was actually created, that storyline was created by one of the writers that worked on Hellraiser, which is really creepy considering kids cartoon. And but that's a cool episode because he captures the royal family and they're all hanging from this tree by vines, and he wants to take over Eternia and turn everybody into plants. And it's pretty cool. Like even Skeletor's under extreme duress because he's like, He just like, Skeletor to Randor, come in, you royal boob. Like that. And so you have like, you've got like Skeletor's henchmen. Like, I think it's like Beast Man and Trap Jaw. Skeletor, help us. Help you. I can't even help myself. Like that. He's all freaking out. There's vines all over that orb he's got in Snake Mountain. It's great.
I like that Skeletor impression. That's good. We need more of that.
Yeah.
Could I get a taste of, how about Skeletor as a telemarketer?
Ah.
But ma'am, these sunglasses.
Customer service, Skeletor speaking.
Money back guarantee.
But ma'am, I've assured you, car warranty has run out.
You're trying to sign me up again, you.
You boob.
Yeah.
I can help you lower your student loans.
Consolidate. I don't know if I overloaded my microphone doing that. But, yeah, I've never done that on the podcast before. That's funny.
Now you gotta do it for the rest of the episode.
Jake Roberts one. You know, Ryan McCormick likes that one. But, yeah. It's got everything you want. You don't need your M's, your J's, your Y's. Well. Yeah, no, it's good times. I've been watching a lot of the WWE Network, and I'm almost through 88 NWA WCW. I'm on like August now. I'm watching the episodes and then the pay-per-views. And if they don't have the pay-per-views on a network, I watch them on YouTube. Because some of them, like, they didn't have Clash of the Champions 1 or 2 on the network. They start with number 3.
So, season beatings? Isn't three number three is season's beatings, right?
No, that might be no, because Starrcade 3 I think is in November.
Okay.
It's Fall Brawl. It's Fall Brawl. They call the subtitle is Fall Brawl before mm-hmm. it became Fall Brawl on its own. Or like War Games, you know, all that. And they kind of moved the titles around a little bit, but they had like you know, we're going to merge victorious with the Jim Crockett Memorial Cup. It's like, yeah, that didn't go anywhere. Every year they talk about this Memorial Cup and, you know, we got the Spring Stampede. You're looking at the new tag team champions. Like that. It's like you get like these Southern boys. Bobby Eaton actually did a decent promo, and because he got mad, he did. I haven't seen it. I couldn't believe it. It's funny. I'll get it for you because like he doesn't project very well because he's kind of Jody froze up again. He's got like that. He's like Robert Gibson when he talks, it's just, yo, we're gonna get these guys, and I tell you, and it's like they're yelling, but you can hear what they're saying. You can't even hear it, and it's just like, yo, we're gonna give these guys run for their money, like that, and it's just like really, you're not threatening at all, dude. It's just not that. And I like how like Arn Anderson, he'll be like, you need to remember that the Four Horsemen, we breed excellence. Your pleasure, like that, and then that's the end of the promo. He says your pleasure, which I think is awesome.
Pretty love Arn.
The awesome. Big glasses and everything, the big huge chain glasses. It's awesome.
Those they have the plum tint.
Yes.
That picture where he's got like the plum tinted glasses. Very.
Yeah, it's he's got like Aunt Barbara's glasses on, but he's Arn Anderson, the enforcer, so you're not gonna tell him otherwise. He's like, you know, 340 pounds of meatball, you know. So. And one of the best TV champs ever. So
yeah, he's one of my favorites, man. He's awesome.
Him, Steven Regal, and stunning Steve Austin are my top three. So, huh. That's what I say. Who are your favorite TV champs, Jody? He froze up again.
Yeah, you guys have froze up a couple times too. Who are my favorites?
Yeah.
When? WCW all time? What are you talking about?
TV champs.
Oh, TV champs. Well, Steven Regal, of course, and Ultimo Dragon, and Prince Iaukea.
That third one's got to be a ruse.
Arn Anderson.
I thought you were going to say King Curtis there for a second.
You can throw Alex Wright in there, maybe. Das Wunderkind.
Oh.
Yeah.
He used to celebrate Berlin's birthday every year.
I celebrate all of Alex Wright's fine work.
Yeah, no pants and a leather jacket. Yes.
I used to have. It's funny. I remember in high school, I had a page from WCW magazine I had ripped out. They used to have these one page pinups, and I had a picture of Alex Wright. A pinup of Alex Wright in my poster.
Yes, he had the orange trunks on. I remember that one.
Yes, he had the, I think they were like lime green, neon lime green. And it looked like he stuffed a tube of Pringles in his pants.
Yeah. He had those blue ones, the green ones, and the orange ones, I think, were like his top three colors. Don't ask me how I remember that. I shouldn't remember that. But if there's Ciclope. There's.
I like Ciclope.
Ciclope was good, dude. Those that whole unit of wrestlers, the luchadors, not really luchadors, but they were like the high flyer cruiserweight class. They were pretty awesome. Like, of course, mine was La Parca. My favorite's La Parca. God rest his soul. He passed away like last year. He's only like what, in his 50s.
Wow.
He's not the one who died though. It's a long, complicated story, but there was another guy that became La Parca, and he's the one who died.
So it's not the late 90s WCW
No.
La Parca. Okay.
No, I don't know if that guy's still wrestling. He would probably be pretty old at this point. There was something where that guy, like, took his gimmick. So the guy that was the original La Parca, his name now is something like L.A. Park, I believe is the guy's name. Because he lost the gimmick. Huh. It sounds crazy, but it's a long story, but I know that's the case. Oh, we can see, I don't know where Justin has gone. The listeners can't see this, of course. I don't know where Justin has gone, but I thought he was putting it on, Ponch. He was going to do the rest of the show as La Parca.
I could do that.
Well, I'm going to raise the stakes.
Oh, goodness.
Fine. That's right. We're going to do it. It looks legit because I got the black shirt on.
This is terrible. This is terrible audio. Justin has put on a La Parca mask, and I have put on a Rey Mysterio mask. So Hola. Oh, and now he's dancing. Also something the listener can't.
Oh, yeah, don't forget.
He's doing the air guitar.
It's a good thing they can't see that.
No.
Only if I choose to. Yeah.
Well,
so.
What have you been up to, Justin, during your time at home?
Well, I work.
You
I work.
Already, maybe you guys have already covered this in a recent episode. I don't know, but I thought not really.
No, I'm working from home, and then I'm working on my kit build, and I got a nice gash in my hand from that. Got that today. Scraper right through the palm of my hand. I'm scraping all the old glue off the ABS plastic and getting the panels ready to paint. So doing a lot of sanding, and I took the windshield out. There's pictures of that. I'm like Dark Helmet. I can't breathe in this thing.
That's how I was. My head's too fat for that mask. It had to come off.
But yeah, no, it was like I just got to get the prep on the body, and then that's ready to paint. Because what I want to do is get that all ready to go. I want it painted and ready to be put together back together by fall. So that's
awesome.
Yeah. Because I got the engine back from the machine shop. They went ahead and polished the crank and hot tanked all the parts and stuff to get all the grime and old paint off. So I'll be painting the block. I think I'm going to go with a fire engine red so you can, because it's like Knight Rider themed, you know? And I think having it like a black engine bay with like the really bright red block would be really neat. Plus, if you have any leaks, you can see the leaks, which I'm hoping there. I mean, I'm going to get all new stuff to put in there. So. Yeah, that's where it's at, and so getting ready for paint. I'm going to be painting the trim next weekend. I was going to try and do it this weekend, but yesterday was really windy, and I'm also working on music, so I've got music going on right now. I put down all the harmonies and stuff on there yesterday, and it's turning out really well. So I have a lot of projects keeping me busy. I'm never short of things to do. So
that's great.
And then, you know, being a dad and hanging out with the kids and my wife and stuff is cool. So, yeah, that's kind of what I've been up to. And mowing the lawn has not been part of that yet, so that's always good.
I did my initial one a couple days ago. Got everything all taken care of.
Yeah, I got to get rid of Bermuda grass, but that's fine. That's my battle right now. That stuff is terrible. Doing a lot of the music stuff is really, it's in super labor intensive, and, like, you have to, like, my wife will sit at we're using my iMac for that. I got like the Logic Pro 10 is what I'm using, or Logic Pro X if you prefer. And it's like I'll be standing. I got my pedal board back here, and I can be playing and not have to worry about being at a keyboard. All right, start, stop, okay, let's scratch that, let's hit it again. Because I was like, a lot of these, like, if you don't get it to where like you're playing it through and you don't like the way it sounds, delete it. Record it again, and ideally you should practice your parts before you try to record them, but I did it the hard way. So she was real patient and stuff, so she's really great with that stuff and supports me in everything that I do. I mean, whether it's the kit thing or whatever. So my wife's awesome. So yeah, I mean, and she's got a nice collection too. She's got she has, like, I bought her a lot of the vintage Care Bear play sets from like the early 80s. And so she's got, like, Care-A-Lot, like the vintage set. She's got that in, like, a display case, and it's pretty cool. It's got the Ferris wheel and all the cloud car, and yeah, it's the little, I guess, what you call them, the PVC figures from the Care Bears line, which is neat. But she really likes Rainbow Bright and Care Bears. She's got some of the original Care Bears in the box.
Wow.
I think she's got a few of those. She used to have, like, two garbage bags full of Care Bears, like, from, like, later year ones, but we sold those off at a yard sale.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So made some good money off those.
The cartoon used to have a guy, he had a villain on there. His name was Professor Coldheart, and I had his picture when I was a kid. But when I got older and was still playing with my toys, I wasn't playing Airbrush toys. So I would use that guy as one of the Guardians of the Galaxy because he was blue and he had white hair. Nah, close enough. Your name is Gantha, and you're one of the Guardians of the Galaxy when I'm playing. Or Guardians of the Universe from DC, like the guys that gave Green Lantern.
Right.
I would pretend it was one of those guys.
Yeah, pretend it's one of the ones that they, nobody likes, even the Guardian. See, that's why I like my Hector Hammond action figure, because it's Hector Hammond. He's got the huge head. He's got that blue suit on, that blue office suit. It's really funny. But in fact, that's Jody's, still to this day, that's Jody's picture on my contacts list on my phone, is that Hector Hammond figure.
My son just asked me today, he goes, wow, Green Lantern, can I watch that movie sometime? No, you probably don't want to do that.
You're going to find it pretty disappointing, kid.
Yeah, well, we watched Aquaman today, and they liked that. And they're like, can we watch Green Lantern? I said, well, I don't know about that. We'll have to.
Aquaman is in a class of its own. That movie's fantastic. It's one of the best movies I've seen since I've been born. So it's awesome. I love it, man. What's not to like? Action-packed and great story. Killer friggin' soundtrack. Oh, my gosh. That soundtrack was sold out the first 2 months. The score, the movie score was sold out.
It was really nice.
It was sold out on Amazon for 2 months. And it was on back order. It took me 3 months to get it.
Nice.
The physical copy, you know, because that's the way I roll. And it had the auto rip and stuff, which I think is a really nice feature. But yeah, it was, I think all the acting was great. The story was fantastic. I'm not a hardcore Aquaman fan. I don't like the comic version of him in any incarnation, really, because I just couldn't get behind it.
What?
Those are
fighting
for right there, man.
Snow Globe or not, I just, you know, I think, you know, I retracted it to a smidge, because I do like the 100-page specials that DC was putting out.
Well, there you go.
And I like Orm is in those, and like the last one I read, Orm was... he had his own family. He kind of like mimicked what mm-hmm. Aquaman did, and they're like, "Where are you going? Or why are you guys fighting?"
Yes,
so, I thought that was pretty cool, you know. So, I'm a big fan of the guy that played Orm in the Aquaman movie.
Patrick Wilson.
He was really good.
He was great, and if I'm not mistaken, I think he played. He was on. Maybe it's a different guy. Was that the guy that played? He was on that subpar A-Team film from 2010 there. He played one of the main bad guys. Their name is slipping my mind. Because there's Decker, and then there's... they had another guy that was after him after that. Gosh, he's totally... It's not Maxwell. It's something weird, but... He's got a single-syllable last name, but it skips my mind. But no, I always thought he was a great actor, and... really good in that film too, and that's going to be my next project, is the A-Team van.
Oh, I thought you were going to build like the Aquaman Corvette or something.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that they drive into Atlantis, that Aqua vehicle, we're going to build one of those. We're going to take you to the beach.
Really fun.
Do the Chuck Norris Corvette. It'll have protruding buzz saws and stuff sticking out of it.
What, from Chuck Norris?
The cartoon series.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I had all those toys. I don't think I ever watched the cartoon, but I had all the toys. They were in the KB, the world famous KB 3-for-10 bin that was out.
Yeah,
front.
Those things. It had that purple ninja guy with the wild hair, and he could kick people. Those toys had limited articulation.
No, that's not true.
Do they have knee legs. Articulation?
Yes. Yes, they did. And elbows. Yep.
What about torso?
Their torso would twist. They had pretty good articulation. I didn't play with the toys much, but I would take the Chuck Norris, and I made him join my Justice League when I was a kid. He was wearing an orange vest. He looked like he was a member of the, Department of Transportation or something. Like, he's out fixing the road.
Yeah, he had the McFly puffy vest. Yeah.
Yes, yep.
I always thought he looked like the guy, the guy from the Charmin toilet paper.
Are you talking about the Bounty? Like the
Yeah, the Bounty, sorry, yeah.
The Bounty guy, the guy with the flannel. Yeah, I can see that. He had the same mustache.
Yeah.
The '80s mustache.
And they wore the puffy jacket too.
Because
I was looking to see right now, here's what I did recently is I went ahead and I purchased a buttload of Rambo toys, the vintage ones.
I remember having a few of those when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had the Savage, pretty much like the Savage Cycle. We had the Uzis for handlebars. Had a 50 cal popped out of the back. I picked that up. It's got vac metal rims and rubber tires. It's amazing.
Wow.
And it's got like ADF pods that pop out of the side for like rockets and stuff. And I picked up the, I got some artillery cannons. I have the Savage Strike Headquarters in box. I picked it up at a toy show in Spokane. Spokane Action Figures is the guy's Instagram handle, and he's a pretty cool dude. My wife bought a bunch of Nerfles from his wife. There are these things called Nerfles. I don't remember them. She loved them. She's like, these are in box. These are case fresh. I'm like, well, go buy them. I don't care, you know? And so here we go. Chuck Norris, mint on card, $40 of free shipping. So they're not horribly expensive. And I do remember they had several variants of Chuck Norris.
Can never have.
Yeah, there were two or three different ones, yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
We had the one that came with the, I don't, you know, we just had the Corvette. We didn't even have any figures.
Huh.
So my mom got those on clearance at like freaking True Value Hardware Store.
The premier place to buy old school toys.
Yeah, Kenner was the toy line. So we got knee articulation and, oh yeah, the good old silver pins in the elbows. He had some,
he had some
work done, you know.
Oh, wow. I never saw those before.
I just remember like the you know, the paper towel look outfit, and I remember the purple guy with the crazy hair. It looks like Psychosis.
There was a sumo figure. There was a sumo that had like a Fu Manchu mustache, and it looks like he's wearing a big diaper because he's a big fat sumo, you know.
Yeah.
His power was that he would put like a there he is. He'd put like a bear hug on. You'd squeeze his legs, and he'd like put the guy in a bear hug. And I believe on his little medallion thing that's right above his, right below his belly, it said FB. So we'd call him Fat Boy.
Awesome.
Yeah, see, these aren't that expensive. Now, ones that are expensive that I want to pick up are Cops and Crooks. They're expensive.
Cops?
Yeah.
Fighting crime in a future time.
That's right. I just picked up the whole box set, the complete series, for $10.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
I enjoyed that show a lot when I was a kid.
It's awesome. And a lot of those figures had a cap firing mechanism with a roll cap. It's a paper cap, I should say.
I had one of those guys. I think I only had maybe two figures from the whole line, but the guy I had did have that.
Well, you know my story on that line. I begged and I didn't get anything, so I wanted the buttons with Boom Boom. And they had it at the Price Chopper, Kenny Drugs, and I begged my mom all day, because what I would do is formulate in my head a false reality of me actually getting the toy, and then I would use it as motivation to myself to beg all weekend, only to be refused. And so I was crushed. So one of these days, I'm going to buy one on card. And that's the goal, folks, is to acquire the things in your life that were denied you at an earlier age and make it reality. That's the great thing about being an adult.
Yes.
You can be in charge of yourself. And that's what drives me. And, so the USS flag is still on the list.
Man.
And you'll have to build an addition on your home in order to have a place to put it, right?
I got the room. I got a big house.
You kids are gonna have to bunk up. This is Daddy's USS flag room now.
Yeah, I'll just commandeer one of the bedrooms. You got five bedrooms, so one of them's actually a loft now. So I'll put it in the loft. It's a huge loft.
Probably put a kid's mattress on that thing, man. Thing's so huge.
7'6".
Yeah, man.
What'd you do this last weekend? I slept on the deck of the USS flag. Right next to the Sky Striker jet and the Eagle awesome. Hawk. That's awesome. But there was a guy who built some ridiculous, he did a custom, and he built he built it out of wood, and it was a huge one. It was 20 feet long, and he built it to scale.
Oh, my gosh.
And it filled up his basement. Wow. So you go downstairs in his basement, and the first thing you see is all this wood, and all he hand-painted it, and it was a... They're like, oh, you think that's long? Just check this one out. And it was like, what are you... How are you going to get that out of the basement? You're going to have to cut it in pieces.
Man, then what happens is his basement floods up.
Yeah, exactly. So I
was Ark. You just hop on it and ride that wave to the top of the
surface. It's a surfboard. That's awesome.
We put all the Joes in 2x2. All right, Dreadnoughts, you're next.
Yeah.
Buzzsaw, actually, Monkey Wrench, get in there, guys.
All right, Skidmark, we're not going to leave you out either. Well, this is
all right, Windmill, we need to, not everybody. We don't have room for everybody, Windmill. You're waiting out here.
Here's a life preserver. And you get an anchor.
What? Chuckles, you go to the back.
Yeah. Well, we have Big Boa? Remember Big Boa?
Yes, I know Big Boa. He had the big boxing gloves.
Yeah,
They were gonna do a Rocky Balboa figure, and then had to settle with Big Boa because of the licensing.
And he looks nothing like Rocky Balboa.
No, well, they had to make sure they had a clean break, right?
Yeah. Aside from the boxing gloves, that was the only thing that was even remotely the same.
Pretty much. And they were red, so. But it's like, there's some G.I. Joes. I know we're meandering all over the place, but like Quick Kick, his job was to sell. He did candy bar commercials when they found him. He wasn't like a legitimate ninja. And he had like this whole, if you watch the first season of G.I. Joe, he had this whole jingle worked out for the candy bars. But he acquired skills after doing candy bar commercials.
I didn't mind Quick Kick, but I always, even as a little kid, like 5 years old, I always thought the fact that he was wearing no shoes into battle was not practical in the least.
Yeah, he's like the wild stuff was. Just stomp on his feet, you'll stop him dead in his tracks.
Sure he can avoid all this blaster fire, but what you're telling me is if I throw down a couple of tacks, then I put him out, right?
Oh, my toe.
Go on without me, guys. I'm finished. I'm done for.
Yeah, I would think after being a ninja on that level, you'd have to have some pretty leathery, tough feet like that. Slide a credit card through and make a purchase.
He's super tough if he goes into battle, unless he has to cross a driveway. Then he's out. I'll have to wait here. Go on without me.
What time is it? He toughened up his feet on Crusher Run driveway. Yeah.
He has to wait till sundown for the pavement to cool off before he can run across.
ouch. You're sitting once behind on your mail.
Oh, no, it's really sunny out today, and this pavement's really hot. You're supposed to be quiet. This is a reconnaissance mission. Hot.
Yeah. You failed.
One thing I've been doing during quarantine is I've been playing a lot of video games with my kids every day I get home. Well, what are we playing today, guys? All right, DC, Lego DC Villains? Okay, we'll play that. Or I've had the RetroPie hooked up.
Cool.
And I've been trying to wear all my T-shirts. I have way too many T-shirts. So I go to work, and then I come home, and I take a shower, and I change.
And then I put on a nightshirt.
I'm going through 2 T-shirts a day, and I'm not quite through the whole collection yet, but I'm working on it. I have way too many shirts. I have not gotten rid of a shirt since, I have the same I have too many T-shirts. Let's leave it at that.
Well, it's like your dad with those hats. You just do it with shirts. They had a small laundry room at his dad's house, and the wall, it was just like hat after hat after hat, and it was like, yeah. here's a wrench and his 2 nutty friends.
We're varying degrees of bawdiness that I couldn't wear out in public, but he had no problem.
Bawdy.
Very bawdy, Ponch. Very bawdy.
Would you say his hats are rather ribald in humor?
Ribald, lewd, yes.
Lewd. He wore it to your dental appointment and bears crap out of you.
Yeah.
What?
I didn't think anything of it. But yeah, oh my gosh. Yeah, no way. There was one that had like fake bird crap all over it. Oh, look at the bill and on top of it.
I never saw that.
You'd probably wear that one, but yeah. I'm not going to repeat anything that were on any of those.
You could just leave that one out on a deck and take care of that. This is the real deal. Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Good times. Good times. And yeah, I told this lady at work how I ate like a bunch of Jody's expired candy he had in his closet, and like chocolate orange, and
I got a chocolate orange one Christmas, and I'm not big on oranges, so I said, Justin, you want some of this? Okay, so it's the one where it's in a ball, so you got to crack it open, and it busts into slices, and he ate the whole thing.
Yeah, it was pretty good. But then he had some really expired, I don't know how old this stuff was, it was Valentine's Day chocolates, or something from like Christmas or something, and I remember one of them was in like this plastic book. It was like it really like thin, crumply white plastic on the inside, and it had like holsters in there, and it was like these really old caramel chocolate sticks, and I ate those.
I didn't invite Justin over to get rid of my old candy.
Yeah. It was kind of an experiment.
Partly white. That means it's still good, though, right? Why don't you go ahead and try it and tell me?
That's right. There were spots on it because it got all dried out. My mom cleaned house for a lady that she had those, and this is in the 80s. Okay. So this lady had refrigerator magnets where what they used to do in thing would be they would take real, like, Hershey's or, like, Snickers snack size candy bars, and they would laminate them with this heavy plastic, and then take hot glue and put a magnet on the back, so you'd have a bite-sized Snickers bar on your fridge, right? Preserved in the shell, right? Well, I said, Mom, I want a Snickers bar. No, yeah, I have one right now. I'm cleaning the house. And I go, well, fine. I'm going to improvise. I went over and I tore open that Snickers bar and ate it. She goes, oh. I can't believe, Justin William, I can't believe you did. I can't replace that, it's old. Gonna rot your stomach out. And it was just stuff like that. And yeah, I mean, it was, I don't know how I got that open, but it was a thick plastic. I bet you I found, like, a knife in one of their, which is dangerous. I was, like, 4 or 5 years old. You know, back in the 80s. Thing. Yeah, I got it open somehow. I might have just ripped it open with my teeth. And she couldn't get to the other ones. The lady thought it was funny because my mom told her because, you know, obviously, where'd my magnet go, right? My mom, my son wanted a candy bar and he got into it. She thought that was the funniest thing. So, it's not a problem. It's not a problem. And so then my mom was a little bit more amicable about me getting candy bars because she'd stop at this place called the Limerick Market, and it's now got trees growing through it.
It's not even there anymore. I don't even think the building's there anymore.
Yeah, I looked at the Terra server. We have Google Earth now. I gotta get times.
I looked at the MapQuest, and I was trying to figure out how to get there.
Yeah, it's like because now you got the street view. Well, the last thing I saw, and maybe the picture's a couple years old. Yeah, it's nothing but trees and saplings now growing there. And that was still in business. Now I'm sounding like Eddie Trunk again. 1998, it was still in business.
Wow, really?
Yeah. But the post office had shut down, but the market and the gas pumps were still running.
Huh.
But then I think after, I think it was after maybe the 99, it shut down. But yeah, I mean, it's. I think someone's living in that gift shop that's like on the same. Someone's made a house out of that gift shop that's over there. But yeah, that was crazy. But good times. But anyway, yeah, Tangent City. But no, my mom used to get me those zero bars, the candy bars, the white chocolate, the nougat, and the almonds. Mm-hmm. And like ever since I ate that magnet off the fridge, that lady's fridge. She let me get a candy bar when I said I wanted one because she didn't want that happening again because she knew I'd get them. So then I was eating chewing gum out of the ashtrays of the DMV because I told them, I said, I wanted Wrigley's. I want spearmint gum. And I got refused and I went and had to improvise. Get that out of your mouth. It had like cigarette ashes all over it. Well, I got the gum.
Those little, remember like the tin ashtrays you'd get at like Burger King and leave on the tables?
Yeah.
I'm gonna eat my Whopper and then I'm gonna have a smoke right here in the middle of the restaurant. What an odd time.
And wear a crown as you're doing it. Those are for the kids. How dare you? Get out of here. But my mom could not get my brother and I out of that play area that was at the State Street Burger King in Watertown, New York. They had the carousel in there, and mm-hmm. they had that slide. My mom, there's a picture floating around. My mom's got like this 80s blue purse, and she's like this, and she's going, "Don't you," like that, like trying to get my brother out of there. Like really getting on him. And she's means business because her arm's back here, really leaning in underneath the slide.
She's really giving him what for?
Yeah, like, "You get out of there right now," like that. It's great, man. That's yeah, awesome. We do things like we would start that carousel. They called GFCI power switch on the wall. You're not supposed to screw with, right? And like, you would start this thing up, you know, because they set it so you didn't need quarters, because it was like a merry-go-round that you would pay a quarter at like the grocery store to ride. But in this Burger King, it was set up with like constant power, so you, as soon as you hit the button, you could just do unlimited rides, right? Well, the kids would hang on to the handlebar and let it drag them around the floor in a circle. And they'd get like three kids being dragged around on this thing.
It was a very small carousel. It only sat, I'd say maybe four kids tops.
There were three horses on it.
Three horses, okay. Yeah. I was thinking three, but yep.
Yeah, and so, like, you'd get three kids on the horses and three being dragged around to see how strong the motor was, you know. And that was the kind of horsing around that we did. And take a bunch of the crowns and put them in the station wagon. And have some for the road, you know? But yeah, my brother and I, we got this lady, she was like 85 years old, came up to my brother and I once, and we were teenagers. We were like 16 or 15 or something like that. And I was, you know, fat kid in the white merino jersey with ketchup stains on it. And, I still got it upstairs, but it's got like grease stains on it from constant trips to Burger King and McDonald's. And we're sitting there, and like, it's at the Burger King that was on Arsenal Street, and they had like that elevated snack bar thing with the fake plants in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just sitting there talking. We're just like laughing, having a good time amongst ourselves. Maybe we were being jerks. I don't know. Maybe we were pointing.
Likely.
Yeah. Yeah. So all of a sudden, this 85-year-old lady or whatever comes up to me, she goes, "They were laughing so bad. I'm sitting here eating my burger buddies." And lady comes up to me, she's like, "You two are in a restaurant. You should be ashamed of yourselves. This is a restaurant." My brother and I are just going, out of respect for the elderly, we're just like, okay. We're just cracking up, trying not to laugh. Oh man, it was awesome. I love that stuff.
We used to go to Burger King quite a bit because at least here, I don't know if it was national, but they had the two burgers, two fries, $2 deal.
Yeah.
So when it was two burgers, two fries, $2, George Jordan was like on the house, whatever you want, order up. as long as it's not a special order, you're picking the pickles off, you know. No special orders, but we'll eat like kings. Well, nobody wanted the fries, so they, "Mom, I'm still hungry. Here, have another thing of fries." They'd eat like four things of fries. They're small. Have another one. I don't want a bunch of old, saltless fries. They'd give the fat kid in the back, "Well, here, have some more fries."
Yeah, keep feeding them.
"You don't need another burger. Have some more fries."
Well, and you had
you're eating it in the car, so it's not like you have ketchup or anything. You're just eating the fries as is.
Yeah, those little shallow paper baskets, you know. Yes. So we, and then dump them out. You're like, "Frick, I can't get those back now."
It was two burgers, two fries, $2. Then it was $2.22 when times was getting a little more lean.
Yeah.
Then I believe it was $2.44, and now I think it's like $4.44. I'm like, $4.44? I remember when that was $2 and in your old man on the porch voice.
Geez, if I had this when the Super Bar was around, I'd really have a weekend.
I love me some Super Bar.
24 pieces of garlic bread.
I ate 24 pieces of garlic bread.
Yeah.
To be fair, it was a roll cut in half. one hamburger roll would equal four, because it was half and half, was four pieces of bread. And I ate 24. That's still six hamburgers.
That's a lot of bread.
Still quite a bit of bread. quite a bit. Not to mention the butter that it was sopped in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and that nacho cheese tasted like sweat. I loved it. I drizzled it all over those au dente, like, freaking noodles they had. It was
the noodles were in the steamer, so they were hard and crunchy because they'd been in there too long.
Yeah, that's how I like them. And I could still taste that cheese, you know, and the garlic bread.
I look forward to the homemade, the soft tacos you could make. Oh, look at this. There's no limits as far as how much of this soggy meat I can put in there.
You'd see a worker come out after you'd finished the whole stack, and then you'd see him begrudgingly coming out, and they're filling them up again. Yeah, we know this fat lard over here just ate the whole stack. I make four of them. I got to-go orders to get. What are you doing? You know, but they can't tell you that.
Load up the soft taco with that meat and the cheese sauce, and then you want to pick it up and just plop out the end of it.
Oh, yeah, you were trying not to plop in your pants on the way home. That nacho cheese gets you every time, clean you out, grease lightning, you know.
Gurgle, gurgle, gurgle.
Yeah. Oh. It's like Jody and Trav had me on an episode of you had a Super Bar episode on your podcast.
Episode 48,
yes. He doesn't remember. He's got a catalog.
I remember that one. Episode, Justin called in to talk about the Super Bar.
Yeah, and I was sitting outside. I was sitting outside a Casa Mia Italian restaurant, and my son was like 2 years old, and he was watching Shining Time, or he's watching something on there, and I go, he likes George Carlin.
Oh my god.
He thought that was really funny. And Travis goes, gee, he likes George Carlin. Like, they thought it was great. But no, we were talking about the Super Bar, and I go, yeah, I remember we went to the Wendy's Super Bar in Cicero, and first thing I did is I sat down and first thing I do is get a stack of pepperoni and I eat it raw. And you're talking about how the triple threat was there. Travis was talking about they were at that Cicero, the same one, and the triple threat Vince was there eating in the Super Bar.
Who? The triple threat what?
Yeah, the triple threat was there. Travis said the triple threat. Sean, his brother Sean, saw
him. Oh, the Porter Cicero. Boys. Okay, yeah.
And his brother,
the triple threat. Yeah, that's bad times. Better put it in. All right, we better bring out another tub of chocolate pudding, because this one's, these boys came to eat.
Yeah, man, it's great. Wow. Like the wrestlers now are all like, you know, real hipster, and they're real like all watching what they eat stuff. Well, if I gotta, you know, I go to a Chipotle or something like that. I'm like, come on, man. They were hitting a Wendy's Super Bar when you were diapers. Come on, you know.
Dude, look up Otis from Heavy Machinery.
Yeah.
He bucks that trend, man. On Instagram, he's always posting.
His
barbecue exploits of like sausages and hot dogs and steaks and stuff. He's like pretty awesome, man.
Yeah.
He's got no shame at all.
Yeah. He's a big boy. And yeah, I thought one of his gimmicks, he had like this attractive woman that was following him around now, like a blonde lady.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're dating right now. Kayfabe dating.
Kayfabe, yes. Yeah. I can't remember. I think I saw him local. Or maybe that was another guy. There was a real, really heavy, heavy set guy that was, he was bigger than Hugh Morris, because Hugh Morris was like really agile and stuff. This guy's just kind of he just plops, you know. He had long hair and he was bald on top, so it was like that, he's like that crazy, like Wonder Mop Hogan thing going on. And
are you sure it wasn't a guy that was like two rows in front of you when you were at this house show?
Yeah, he jumped into the ring. Yeah, I've never seen someone vault over the
Wyatt shirt. Oh, okay. Yeah, he was eating a soft pretzel.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Wasn't talent. Okay.
I'm trying to remember what tag team he was in. I think it was like the they're like these greasy biker guys. And I don't remember who they are.
I'm sure he's probably talking about Otis. It sounds like Otis to me.
It's before he went solo.
Well, no, he's still in a tag team.
Is he? He's not in singles competition?
The ticket, not the other guy.
He's not like Steve Austin. I think it's great because he's like, yeah, you're a tag team. You did some singles, huh? Yeah, you did some singles. Like that. I think this is funny. He's interviewing people and stuff, and he'll have, I used to like his show a lot, his podcast a lot. Like, his Brian Knobbs one is really good. Anything with Brian Knobbs in it is hilarious. But, and I was telling Ponch earlier, on the last episode, which we haven't aired yet, there's
several weeks
ago. Yes, 47, yeah, several weeks ago. Yeah, he's frozen. Jody's frozen right now. He's going.
That was perfect, man. Perfect timing. Awesome.
He's like that cactus from Final Fantasy.
Oh, Cactar?
Cactar, yeah. We went to it must have been the Otis guy. That was him. He just had longer hair. I don't know if, I thought he had shorter hair now.
No, he's got longer hair. Longer hair now.
That must have been him then. Yeah. Because a lot of these tag teams, I don't keep up, I don't know some of these people. Like, because I don't follow the sport, and I don't follow the current roster, if you will. I watch the old stuff, and then they cleaned house, and, you know, because I had heard that Anderson and Gallows got canned, but then they brought them back with some kind of modified contract and that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's good.
Well, yeah. They're gone now. They're gone again.
They're gone again. Nice.
Yeah. Well, gone. Yeah, they're gone.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with these guys? Nothing. You can't have shows. So.
Yeah. Well, there's, it's weird because I've been watching, SmackDown because, you know, no cable. So I get Fox over the air and NXT through the network. And it's weird because, like, the past, I'd say, month and a half, they've been doing, their shows without an audience. And, mm-hmm. Initially they would pre-tape the shows. But then I think the past week or so they've been doing live shows, but still without the audience. But it's really weird. I don't think
ratings are like 0.5. It's terrible.
I don't know, but it's so weird because a lot of the wrestlers would do is relying on like the pop they get from the crowd. But since there's no crowd, you know, it's
jarring.
Yeah, it's you hear a lot of like the grunting and the screaming that they normally do in shows. And I guess to compensate, you hear him doing some smack talking here and there, and it's really weird.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's really weird.
Mm-hmm. It's like when Terry Funk has the match against himself. Yeah.
You know, at the same time, though, I kind of appreciate what they do, though, because you can tell who's a really good worker without having to. I mean, yeah, the crowd is good to feed off of, but at the same time, if you can have a really good match without them, then, you know, yeah. This is a good guy to need to keep around for a while.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Agree.
Yeah. But still weird. But I'm hoping soon once everything comes back to some sort of normalcy, we can get some crowd interaction again, because it's never realized until now how much you have the wrestlers, obviously they're the main attraction, but the crowd offers so much more to matches too.
Sure. They let the people know what's working and what's not working.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like watching the Greensboro Great American Bash with no commentary. It's freaking terrible.
Yeah, it's an added element to it that just seems weird when you don't. Mm-hmm. When you don't,
but the commentary is the same thing. I mean, it's if you watch a match with, it's got the crowd, but there's no commentary. It's just not happening. You know, it just, yeah, it's kind of weird, but. I don't think anyone really thought about kind of like what the content would be like without those elements. I mean, I don't think that a year ago people wouldn't foresee this happening. So it's kind of like,
no,
it's kind of like, you know, you got people on the fence about like, well, you should just keep those people on retainer or just pay them or whatever. But for how long, you know, I mean, it's kind of like, they probably have to look for other work, or maybe there's some of the other promotions that are willing to still, I don't know, legally, depending on what state the venues are happening, it depends kind of where, because I know with WWE, it was the whole Florida, like, what was that deal with Florida? Like,
mm-hmm.
were they deemed an essential thing or not essential?
They're all the shows are happening at their performance center, which is like their training center. And I think that has a lot to do with why they've released so many guys here in the last couple of weeks, because they're not doing, I'm assuming they're not going to be doing many live events, like coming from town to town, doing house shows and stuff. They're not going to be doing that in the foreseeable future for months. So there's not really any point to keep these fringe guys on, these fringe guys around that are kind of there to put people over.
Yeah. They're not, but I mean, I can understand if they want to let someone like of a Roadblock character go.
That's pretty cool.
they get paid like $50,000 in 90s money to sit home and do nothing. Or no, it was like $100,000 or $120,000 or something to sit home. It's crazy. Hey, yeah. Roadblock, you got a match coming up. It's your two matches a year. You know, I'd do it.
There's quite a few wrestlers now that, I mean, they're the ones that haven't been let go. They have like secondary type of avenues for, I guess, money or whatever. Because like, like the New Day have that Up Up Down Down YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
Asuka also has a YouTube channel, and a lot of like wrestlers are huge gamers, so they're involved in that stuff too. So
sure, there's merch. There's merch. Yeah.
A lot of them started podcasts, Twitch channels, YouTube channels, a lot of outside income in case they're not on TV. They can start Patreons. It's good. I'm glad that they're able to make this outside income, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, they've got the wherewithal to do that. I mean, like Zack Ryder, you know, he's got merchandise, and he's already been doing it. So it's like he's got that momentum there, so...
Yeah, you know what's interesting about that is last night I was watching. I think I mentioned this to you earlier, Justin. The Vice has that Dark Side of the Ring series, and last night I watched the Dino Bravo episode. And,
I watched that.
I'm gonna watch that.
Man, that was intense because you have this dude. His entire life was wrestling, and after he was let go by the WWF, he really had nothing else to do, so he got involved with, you know, organized crime and.
Yeah,
unfortunately, that led to his life. So it's good that now, like you're saying, like wrestlers have the wherewithal now that they realize their body is not meant to be wrestling all their life. So they have to have some sort of like, you know, exit strategy. So
back then, they didn't have the exit strategy, and some of them still don't. You see a guy like Greg Valentine who's in his 60s and still making shows and looking sad and looking plump.
Terrible.
It's sad, you know. And Dino Bravo was like that, and unfortunately, like you said, he turned to basically being heavy for organized crime, and that was, I was really interested in that episode, because that's a story I had heard about over the years, but didn't know a lot about, and I thought it was a good episode. Sad, but.
Yeah, and what's weird is, you figure, I guess based on that episode there, they mentioned that he basically ran his own promotion up in Quebec, so I figure... Fine, it's not wrestling, but you can use that managerial skill to, you know, be applied to something else. But, you know.
Yeah, maybe maybe he was, maybe there was too many. You'd think he'd be able to be a promoter or something up there where he could find something to do, but I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
Suppose when you have a certain lifestyle and a certain level of income, you want to make sure you maintain. You want to maintain that.
That's true. Mm-hmm. But
Yeah,
they've released some pretty. I only caught on to that series when they had the Chris Benoit two-parter, and so I've watched most of this current season.
I'm gonna have to pass on that one. I can't watch that. I can't watch that one.
It was tough watching because he's one of my, you know, despite what he's done, he's one of my favorite wrestlers.
There's a kid involved. I can't do that.
No, I hear you, but. But so despite that, I watched.
Oh, I'm season. Not knocking the series. I just that's one I'll have to. I don't have the heart to watch.
Right.
No, I understand. But yeah, I've been watching some of after like this current season. I've been slowly watching some of the older episodes and some really good stuff, man. I mean, it's some of the stuff is really difficult to watch, but at the same time, it's good to see like, you know, what happened behind the scenes, and you don't have anybody like Vince trying to keep that stuff. You know, kept behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, that's what Dino, that's what Bruno Sammartino went on like freaking Larry King exposing a lot of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get Vincent. Oh, okay, Bruno, now wait a second. You know, wait. It's like Dude, you're just trying to sweep it up, man. It's a sad thing that Bruno Sammartino's gone, because he was really an advocate for everything, some of the shady stuff that was going on, and putting a voice to that. And maybe it doesn't matter at this point. I don't know, because I mean that era of the business is pretty much gone. But I mean, it still kind of like, you know, bothers you, you know, because you're like, well, I grew up watching this stuff when all that stuff was going on, and you know, it's crazy. But it's just like any other business. I mean, entertainment business. And yeah, it's crazy when some of this stuff starts coming to light. And you're just like, wow, I had no idea. You know, we're like 10 years old, 12 years old. We had no clue, you know. Unless you want to talk about the Lex Express. I don't think that'll be on Dark Side of the Ring. Lex wouldn't get on the bus. He didn't want to ride the bus. So. If you would have given it to Randy Savage, he would have rocked it, man. He would have been, oh, yeah, you know, just. I can't do that voice because it makes my throat raw. You can't do it. Dude, I need more Slim Jims. And anyway.
It always boggles my mind. Like, how is it that he was able to keep that level of intensity, all those veins popping? Dude, the dude had the most muscular forehead in the entire world, man. And, like, the way he would just, like, scream when he talks. And
it was his personality. Like, they said he was like that all the time. But Well, I won't say. Let's say there was consumption that aided that level of performance. So, alleged.
Was it Junior Mints?
Yes. Yes, it was. It was the crunchy ones. This is the candy cane inside, yes. The deluxe holiday edition.
Oh, those are pretty cool.
I could take a box of them right now. Send my pancreas into shock. So yeah, we're gonna wind zip this thing, okay? And we thank you, Jody, for being on.
Absolutely, thank you for having me on. I'll have to do this again soon if you'll have me back.
Yeah, you just send me a hard date and a hard time, and you know, we won't be in Cobb County, Georgia, but you know. We can definitely do this again. So, yeah, that this will wrap up episode 54, folks. And
55.
Is it 55?
Yes. That's what you told us at the beginning of the
show. It's an alternate episode 55. No, yeah, I don't.
54.1.
Alternate 1985. Okay.
The 0.1 issue.
Boy, we botched that, didn't we? Well, I did. Okay. Anyway, this has been episode 55, folks. And,
What do we got? What do we got for plugs?
I don't do plugs anymore.
Oh, you're not doing any more plugs?
I'm going freelance. No, check out the McSauce podcast. Check out a fireside chat. Check out We Hope This Finds You Well. I missed you guys in the last episode, whenever that may air. And Chadwick Stewart out there, and with the Element of Surprise podcast. And there's some other episodes, some other podcasts that I'll probably, if I listen to them and I like them, I'll start plugging them too. But the Howard Hughes podcast, The Unexplained, that one's pretty good. I really am a huge fan of that. So if you're into weird stuff, that's the guy to check out. So yeah, guys, that's going to wrap just about do it. And we'll talk to you next time.
Can I make a plug?
If you must.
If I must.
Yeah.
I am appearing on a podcast called From Claremont to Claremont, an X-Men podcast that looks it starts in September 1991, Marvel Comics, and takes a look at any book that any of the X-Men have been in that month. And I am doing a review for X-Men number one, and upcoming episode is X-Men number two. Called From Claremont to Claremont, an X-Men podcast, and you can find it on the Chris and Reggie's Cosmic Treadmill podcast feed.
And Jody will have to remain in the shadows as he'll be observing himself at 10 years old reading those comic books.
There's a lot of that talk.
Yeah.
Those X-Men books with Claremont and Lee, oh, those are I've done episode one and episode two, and you read X-Men number one, what, best-selling comic book of all time, 8 million copies, and you're looking through it, and I hadn't read it in probably, I'm going to say probably close to 20, 25 years, but I'm looking through it, and I'm going, oh, I remember that page, I remember that page, I remember that page, and it's a lot of fun.
I don't remember that page, and I don't remember that page. All I remember is burning my toys and then reading Web of Spider-Man, like, freaking, see, I don't even remember, probably like 35 or something, and that's long gone. So there you go.
Not an X-Men guy? You didn't have X-Men number one?
No, my brother. I think my brother did. I didn't like that bloated cast, and it was a little text heavy, and it was a very bloated cast. I like straightforward, like Spider-Man's gonna go and get electrocuted, and take on Doc Ock when he's got 103 fever. That's the kind of stuff I like. So.
Dang,
well,
I remember.
Well, I'm on the X-Men segment. We're taking a look at X-Men, X-Force, X-Factor, Alpha Flight. Marvel Comics presents The Works, everything.
And that includes Warpath and Black Tom, everybody. Just remember that.
There was some Black Tom in X-Force.
I know!
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Yep,
yeah. And Juggernaut, yes.
Yes, man. And Juggernaut, that's right.
Thing I remember from that first issue was the Danger Room scene where, like, Wolverine mm-hmm. goes to the floor and, like, has one of his claws point at Xavier's face. He goes, bang, Chuck, you're dead. That and friggin' Beast saying what the H-E double hockey sticks, and they like spelled that entire thing out.
it was a new low in comic books, yeah. No, okay, cool. Well, that sounds like you got a whole other show there. That's cool. So yeah, check it out, everybody. Jody's out and about, and
trying to get back into the game,
and talk to. Got a non-compete contract and shackled for this show, so he's not going anywhere. No, that's all. Thank you, Joe. Yeah. And, alright, stay frosty, folks.